for us to sign those, to fill those out. Because I want to show you today that there is a blessing. There are blessings in serving the Lord. I'm hoping to motivate and encourage us in the service of God today. I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to be, I think the right way to be a preacher is to have 3 points and a closing thought or something like that. I don't have that. I have a couple of passages and I plan to read and make some comments as we go. I hope that I can read in a way that emphasizes and helps us keep our minds on what we're reading and let the Word speak to us. I want this to be a motivational message, an encouraging message. Anytime you read the Scriptures, I want to say objectively, I don't know if any of us truly read the Scriptures objectively because we have our temperaments, our experience, our makeup, and so on. But if you're fair with the Scriptures, you're going to read promises and warnings. So I don't have everything positive this morning. There are negatives that we're going to see too. But I want to take from this the idea that I can be motivated and encouraged in serving the Lord this morning. And there are just many things. I know things are going to come to your mind that didn't come to my mind as I was looking at this. I don't know if I have anything from the Psalms. Like Harold shared, there's many things in the Psalm that talk about how our relationship with God and living for God. Hebrews 6, 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, and so now this here he's comparing the earth to us. So he's using the earth as an example and then comparing that to us. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, so it receives a blessing that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed. That earth receiveth blessing from God. So when God, so the earth receives the rain, and in, you could say in response to that, in thankfulness for that, gives back well, this here says herbs. In our day, it might be a crop of corn, it might be apples, it might be whatever. But the earth takes in the nutrients that's given it and then returns fruit. And that earth receiveth blessing from God. Verse 8, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So last 2 messages ago, I believe it was, I shared about brotherhood, fellowship, and me and having our soil, having our hearts, picturing our hearts as soil. We had the parable of the sower and what we take in and what we give out. And then verse 9, but beloved, and I want to say this, this is true of me as well. We are persuaded better things of you. I want to thank you. I don't feel like you all are just a patch of earth that bears thorns and briars. I see fruit. I see things coming back from what you receive from the Lord. And I want to bless you in that. We are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. It's interesting that he uses that phrase. That's a natural thing. This producing fruit accompanies salvation. We are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous or unfair or short-sighted. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward His name. When we do things for each other, when we do things for the church and for the kingdom, we are doing that toward His name. In that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So ministering to the saints is something that He counts as being done toward His name. Verse 11, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, faith and endurance, inherit the promises. And then go down to chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 14 through 16. And here he's explaining why we do some of the things we do, even if they don't seem to make sense short term. Verse 14, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." The farmer that goes out and plants a crop, well, at the time that he's planting, he's looking ahead 6 months or whatever it might be. It's becoming more and more common for deer hunters to cultivate deer. They go and put in a food plot, they clear brush, or they plant certain kinds of trees. And I know that a farmer will look ahead more than just to the next crop. They're doing things to plan for their crops for the future as well. But for deer hunting, for land management, you might look down the road many years. Another example I thought of is I can remember when I was a little guy, that for those of you who know where I grew up, the Mintdale Clubhouse was across the road. And there were pine trees. Those pine trees at that time were probably 15 to 20 feet tall. And there were always birds, lots of birds in those pine trees. Well, I had a BB gun, and we didn't go over there often. Mom's just now finding out we went over there at all, maybe. But I remember thinking as a little guy, when I get big, I'm going to have pine trees. We didn't have pine trees in my place. And today, I see Ryan sneaking through the pine trees with his pellet gun, looking for birds, because 20 years ago, I planted pine trees that were this big, and now I have 15 and 20 foot tall pine trees. I spent the money, I bought the trees, we did the work to plant those trees. Now, some of that was for me. A lot of that was with my children in mind, because I knew it was going to be a while before they grew up and developed into anything. So, we have no continuing city here. If all we're looking at, if I do thus and thus, my life will be so and so on earth. If that's all we look at, we're soon going to get discouraged. We're soon going to realize that the payout doesn't quite match the return or exceeds the return in many ways. But if we keep in mind that we do not have a continuing city here, this isn't where we live. This is where we live now, but this is not where we're going to live. We seek one to come. If we have our eyes on eternity, that makes all the difference. Verse 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So there's part of it. There's the praise. There's us giving praise to him. Verse 16, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not." So don't just praise. Don't just give that back to God. That's part of it. But again, by serving others, doing good and to communicate, that's sharing with others, "for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." So, again, just an encouragement. God is pleased. I hope we're not confusing salvation, the act of being right with God, with blessings in serving God. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about as a born-again Christian, serving God blesses him. He is well pleased with that, and in return, he blesses us. Now, that blessing doesn't always mean more money and perfect health, but he gives us what's good for us. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." So I'd like to encourage you in that. As we sign up for these jobs, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. I think I've shared this before, but I remember, and some of you are probably going to know who this was, but I called somewhere and got their voicemail. And it, you know, the old leave a message and so on and so. But then it says, "And remember, whatever you are, be a good one." And that just stuck with me. So as you look at this list and sign up for something, whatever you are, be a good one. We all have different gifts. Some of us are going to be much more comfortable doing teaching than the next person. Some of us enjoy cleaning and that kind of thing much more than teaching. But whatever you are, be a good one. Do it as to the Lord, because you really are doing it to the Lord, for the Lord, as you serve. So I think if we can keep that in mind, it can give us an extra zeal or an extra joy in doing this. I want to read from Romans 12, and I have this printed out in the NIV because there's a lot of words here that we're not familiar with. They've changed. The old English is a little bit difficult unless you take the time to look at it. So I want to read Romans 12. I'm going to read from the NIV and see again a little bit about serving the Lord. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, because freely we have received. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That's not just our, we say we give our heart to Christ, but what does that mean? It's our bodies. Offer your bodies. That's the things you do and how you use your body and what you do, where you go. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Who does the world live for? Who do they get up for? Who do they go to work for? Why do they do what they do? Who are they looking out for? Number one, me, myself. Don't follow their pattern. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, after your mind is renewed, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If God's will is not your desire, your mind has not been renewed. That doesn't mean there's not temptations. That doesn't mean that we never struggle. There's none of that. But if you do not have a down deep inside, if it's not truly, if your desire isn't to do God's will, you simply do not have a renewed mind. Let Him renew it and watch the desires change. I remember having a discussion / argument with someone. And what I came away believing, and I say argument because it was someone I was pretty comfortable with and we were able to be frank with each other. But what I came away from there realizing was that I, by the grace of God, have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I wouldn't go back for anything. He can't quite believe that the Lord has what's best for him in mind. He still wants his way. And so he wants it his way and God. And he has found God to be highly dissatisfactory. Disappointing. I thought if I served God, I'd get this. I thought if I went to God, I'd get that. And it didn't happen. And I said, well, listen, if you let God have you, then your desires will change. But anyways, let Him renew your mind. Watch your desires change. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, who are many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. Do you believe that? The finger doesn't go off and do his own thing for the day. The foot serves the body. When it's not serving the body, there's problems. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. Let him use it. Let me back up a little bit. Let him use it in a proportion to his faith. I think the King James says, according to the grace given him. I think what we can take from that is in Matthew, where Jesus takes and he gives the parable of the talents. And he says, he gave to one 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Use what you've been given. I've been listening to some Martin Lloyd-Jones messages. And boy, I want to preach like him. I have not been given the 5 talents. I need to be careful. Because I don't want it to be because I'm lazy and not putting in the effort, the work that he did. But God has given some of us more ability in some areas than others. But whatever we've been given, the ability we've been given, use it. Verse 8, if it is in encouraging, let him encourage. If it is in contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. You know, if I've been given the ability to give a lot, and my brother hasn't, but I give more than him and feel good about it, let's look at ourselves. Backing up to earlier where it said examine ourselves to not think of ourselves more highly. If I'm able to give to the needs of others, do it generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. When we think about signing up for these jobs, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. How can I best serve this congregation? Honor one another above yourselves. Whose schedule should change when mine conflicts with your need? Maybe I have a need and you're just wanting to do something. That's how I justify doing my thing. Whose schedule should move? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Now, I think that the literal meaning there is giving your life, dying for someone. But I think that can also mean laying down your life on a Saturday afternoon for the sake of someone else. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. None of you are ever guilty of that, right? This is hard. It really is. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Do we truly mourn a loss? And do we truly celebrate a victory? When I hear that so-and-so got a raise, do I say, I'm glad, good for you? Or do I say, boy, it must be nice? Do we rejoice? I think we do a pretty good job of mourning with those who mourn. Because that doesn't cost us anything necessarily. But do we rejoice with those who rejoice? I think that's a real challenge. So challenge us all with that. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And then I want to take you to one more passage, Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And in the meantime, we know that we are to do things for God. We do things for His sake. Is there any personal motivation? Is personal motivation okay? Not to make me look better to you, but in order to be blessed. I think in our minds we right away say no, but I'm not sure that's entirely biblical. Jesus, if you read in Matthew, and don't turn to this, I'll just read this right now. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee." Why? In order to bring God glory? "For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Here Jesus says, do this because it's better for you. Now again, we're always, once we've had our mind renewed at least, we are seeking the glory of God. But he also, in another place, I don't think we're going to read that this morning, but he talks about laying up treasures in heaven. Don't lay up treasures on earth, lay up treasures in heaven. Something to think about. Colossians 3, verse 1. "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above." Where is your heart? I was thinking about the other day when I had the bush hog hooked up and I was to Bobcat and I was mowing around the pond, and I've got an area there that I sprayed a couple weeks ago and it's dead. It's going to, Lord willing, I plan to plant some food plot there for the deer. You know, we think ahead, and then a couple months I can take the kids hunting and watch the deer from the house and whatever. But where is my heart? We put a lot of thought and effort into making things go here on earth, whatever it is. Where is my heart? Where Christ, set your affection, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then verse 2, it kind of repeats, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Remember we just read in Hebrews about having no continuing city. We're looking for one to come. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And this is just a beautiful picture if we can grasp this. You died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. But when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Usually I think we think of the return of Christ. It says that in the... There's different ideas on how this looks, but we get the idea, especially if you have Uncle Arthur's bedtime Bible story books, you have the pictures in your mind of the Jesus is in the air and all of the angels and saints with him, and here on the ground you have the saints that are still alive and remain, and the graves are open and they're looking, and that whole moment. And I think usually we picture that as being the ones here seeing Christ come. But maybe we will be on the other side already. And I've died. And now this died is not talking about physical death. It's a spiritual death. But when I die, when I surrender, when I become a child of God, my ambition, my life no longer matters. I am now a child of God. My life is hid in Him. But when He appears, I will also, if I have died, will appear with Him in glory. Jesus prayed to God. He said, give me the glory that I had before I came. Father, I desire that those you gave me here on earth would be with me in heaven. Now, why was that? It wasn't just because he was concerned about them and wanted us to go to heaven. He said, I want them to be with me so that they can see my glory. that I had with you before I came. And there's an element, and I want to stay far away from this whole doctrine of us being little gods and all of that. That's not where I'm going at all. But there is an element where God will, my life is hid with Christ in God, but when Christ is glorified, I will also be glorified with Him, however that looks. Never in any way to bring glory to myself, but we will be raised with Him. Verse 5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. I was thinking about this, and I remember my cousin telling me a story. He had been, this was years ago, and he had never been bear hunting that I know of. And he had gone bear hunting in Canada, and he had borrowed my dad's .30-06, and it was a semi-automatic. And so you could shoot, I think, four or five times as fast as you could pull the trigger. And he was hunting bear. He was in his tree stand, and there was a bear there, and it turned out to not be all that big of a bear, but he was not going to let this bear get him. And if I remember the story right, he shot and kept shooting until his gun was empty. And I don't know, he got the bear. I don't know if the first shot was a good hit and fatal and all that or not. But he was determined that that bear was not going to get to him. I'm not advocating that mentality when you're bear hunting. I don't think that's he quite had it all figured out there. But I'm going to kill that thing before it kills me. Do you think that way about your flesh? Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And then he lists these things: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Do you have enough? Do I have enough? Greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And I don't think we want to be associated with anything that ties us into the reason that God's wrath is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves, put it on, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since, and here again we see this picture, as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, you're doing to Christ. So I think that can just give us a lot of encouragement. I do this. It seems mundane. It seems regular. But this is the way I can serve the Lord. This is me doing it unto the Lord. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, and I think the King James says servants. We don't have slaves or servants necessarily in our society, so we could use employees. Obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Verse 24, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. I hope this can be an encouragement to you. Just the idea, I've said this before in one way or another a couple times, but the idea that down through history, God has always had His people, His remnant, from Adam to Christ, and on and after that, and all through those years, sometimes there were many, sometimes there were few, but there were always those people, and we read about some of them, who were serving the Lord, and who were blessed, who God acknowledged and owned because they were His servants. And to think that we don't know when Christ is coming, but to think that we have been given the privilege and the opportunity to step into that line, that apostolic line, that train of people that are of the Lord, the Lord's people, and to fill some little niche, to do something for the King. It's just a tremendous privilege. I'd like to have the ushers come. I have the papers up here. If you would come and pass these out. I'd like for you to fill them out before I think we'll have a prayer, and then you can just fill them out. This would be for members 15 and over. Those of you that are planning to be baptized, go ahead. Those of you who are planning to be baptized next month, you can fill these out, and we will take that into account. A couple of things I'd like to suggest. I guess just to be frank, we've had a little bit of trouble getting everything filled. So, you know who you are. Some of you signed up for 6 or 7 things, and some of you signed up for 1. I'd encourage you to try to sign up for a couple of different things. Try something new. You might find something that you enjoy. You might find something that you know you don't want to sign up for next time, but at least you tried. There's a note with primary 1 and junior classes. If you are interested in teaching those, the only slots open are June through August of next year. And there's some different curriculum we're using there. So if you're interested in teaching those, talk to Gina or Miriam. And they can explain that. So if you're wanting to teach primary 1 or junior from June through August, talk to Regina or Miriam about that. Another thing that is very helpful, sometimes or often it's forgotten, it's very helpful for us if you put a number. Well, the way you can do it, put your name on the paper. At the top, there's a blank to fill in. Put your name on the paper so we know who you are. And then in the blanks, rather than just writing your name in, you can write your name if you want, but put your order of preference or put no preference. Do something to clarify that. That way we know if you know, we have 2 people signed up for the same thing. And if you're at a 1 and the other guy's at a 4, well, it's easier to give you the 1. You know, that way it just helps us decide who to give what jobs. So, please put your name on the paper. please number your order of preference for the jobs. It doesn't mean you're going to get the one you put down as number one, but it helps. And sign up for a couple or three or four or five or six or however many you want. You won't get all that you signed up for. Any questions? Well, thank you again for your efforts. Let's see, I don't think we thought far enough to figure out how we're going to collect these. Do we have a basket or something they can put them in on their way out? Can you find, Jonathan, you want even a dishpan, or doesn't have to be real fancy. Any questions, anything before we pray? Okay, I'm going to ask you to stand, and maybe I should just give a little explanation. For those of you who are visitors, go ahead, stand up. For those of you who are visitors, this is our annual job redistribution, I guess we'll call it, assignments or whatever. So thank you for coming. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for each person that's here today, visitors and regulars. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each one. I just pray, Lord, that we could be happy to be part of your work. I pray that you would bless each one, bless our efforts, give us energy, give us insight into how to do these things and to do them well. Help us always to do them with the idea in mind of doing it for you. I pray that we would be just a blessing to each other and furthering your work and your kingdom. Thank you that you care. Thank you that you invite us to work and participate in your kingdom and your work. Thank you so much for your many blessings. We commit ourselves to you, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One more thing, the offering, is it says in the bulletin, but the offering